Welcome to Sports and a Slice of Life. And now, here's your host, Dave Lewis.
I was all fired up to talk about NBA playoffs with Bill Herenda. You know, what happened with Nate McMillan in Indianapolis? Do the Celtics have a chance against Toronto? Damian Lillard blowing up in the bubble. But obviously, everything has changed. How's it going, Bill?
Dave, it's good to be with you. And a lot more to cover than just the play on the floor. That's for certain.
Just a little bit ago, before we started recording this podcast, it was announced that the NBA will play again. The games for Thursday, the 27th of August, canceled. First of all, your reaction to the postponement of the Wednesday games with Milwaukee starting the ball rolling?
Well, I wasn't totally surprised, and I think that was due to the reports of Toronto and Boston discussing a possible boycott, work stoppage, whatever nomenclature you want to use there, Dave. And Fred VanVleet was very outspoken about it. And I did an interview yesterday morning, and we kind of concluded with nothing would surprise me. So when it occurred, I wasn't totally shocked. And I think the players, of course, are trying to utilize their platform in the best possible way at the time that they can use it. And they chose to do it yesterday by not playing.
All this following the shooting of Jacob Blake in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And then I think maybe as disturbing was the Kyle Rittenhouse, that kid, 17-year-old with the weapon that, you know, shot a couple of protesters and basically walked past some police vehicles, turned himself in, wasn't shot, wasn't, you know, beaten up and thrown to the ground. So I think that's causing not quite the outrage as the shooting of Jacob Blake, but certainly kind of shows you this dichotomy of treatment of people in that part of the country and really all over the country.
Well, this is a, you know, racism and social injustice is a issue that, of course, we've been grappling with for throughout our history. And it's very difficult to solve this issue in one fell swoop. Believe me, we would if we could. And I think what the players, and listen, Dave, backing up a step, I have great respect for law enforcement, firefighters, first responders. I have them in my family. I've had interactions with the police locally back in New Jersey, on campus at UMass Lowell back in the day, and they have a very difficult job. And I think it's important to recognize and to understand that the difficult predicament that they're in. However, we have these horrible acts that in this day and age are being captured, of course, on video. And I'm Caucasian. I'm not an African American. I have been in situations with the police, with friends of color that thankfully went okay. I've been in situations with Caucasian friends with the police that, again, thankfully went okay. But when you are in that situation, I think you have the feeling in the pit of your stomach that this could go awry in a hurry. And it's a very uneasy feeling. And I think what we all have to strive for, and this is a Charlie Munger mental model type deal via Shane Parrish, Farnham Street, but try to understand the other side, try to understand the person so that you can explain their position as well as they can. And I think what we've got is a scenario here throughout the country that there's more dividing us than uniting us. And we have to try to find common ground, recognize and embrace diversity, recognize that diversity makes us stronger, makes us better. And for the players who, of course, the majority are African Americans, they're in a situation that I don't know because I'm Caucasian. I have friends, of course, that are African American, will have teammates, what have you. But what's going on? I think they're trying to use their platform in the best way possible to amplify the wrongs that are occurring in society and trying to find solutions, whether it be with the owners, with law enforcement, government, et cetera. So that's where we're at. We're at a very tenuous state in the country's history, and it depresses me, honestly, because it just feels like, you know, our generation may have missed the ball on this. But every day we have the opportunity to do better, and that's all we can hope for.
And I think all this really has come to light because we have cell phones now. I mean, this stuff isn't a revelation of the last 2 or 3 years. It's because we've got cell phone cameras. I mean, if nobody had filmed what happened to Jacob Blake, what happened to George Floyd, these things possibly get swept under the rug like they had been for years and years.
Yeah, absolutely. And it may have been Will Smith who articulated that very well, right? Who said, exactly. You know, it's not new, it's just being recorded. So yeah, you know, we've just got to do better, and we've got to again, you know, Dave, I think it the temptation here is to sometimes treat the symptom rather than the cause. So I think what we're kind of grappling with is how do you replace hate with love, and how do you do that in a hurry? And I'm not sure that there's a simple answer for that. And how do you undo mindsets that are, you know, pretty firmly well entrenched? And how do you do that in real time? And how do you affect that change? And I don't have the answer to that. I wish that I did. I wish that we collectively did. So listen, for the players, they're, you know, bringing the light to the issue. They're trying to highlight the issue. And I think it's good that they're going to play and going to continue, because I think you're faced with a choice of how can, you know, I make the most difference in the situation I am currently in with the resources that I have at this moment. Now, as we move on here, teams are going to be eliminated, and then you have the opportunity to make those changes in your local market or where you live. And right now, through October, you'll have that global platform, i.e. the playoffs. But it's certainly, you know, listen, it certainly highlights that, you know, life and justice and equality and doing the right things and treating people the right way and respecting everyone's life, it dwarfs the importance of basketball. But if basketball is the vehicle that you can use to generate attention and garner support for all these issues that are so important, racial equality, justice for all, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, then, you know, you try to utilize that avenue to, again, to highlight the issues and to affect change.
We need to have you in a higher place. I want you to hear, and we don't want to get too political because I know that was kind of our deal before we went on and did this, but here's Jared Kushner this morning at CNN talking about the players sitting out.
I think that the NBA players are very fortunate that they have the financial position where they're able to take a night off from work without having to have the consequences to themselves financially. So they have that luxury, which is great. Look, I think with the NBA, there's a lot of activism, and I think that they've put a lot of slogans out, but I think that what we need to do is turn that from slogans and signals to actual action that's going to solve the problem.
Okay, well, listen. Number one, the not every player is in a position of financial independence, and, you know, there are commitments that they have to meet. And secondly, I think it would be important here to visit NBA cities and with NBA players and understand what they already do in their communities and what they would like to do. So I'm not going to take a position. Again, Dave, this would be very contradictory for me to, I just said a couple of minutes ago, we have to try to learn, listen, and understand the other side so that we can explain their position as well as they can. But I think all I'll say on this in response to this is that, again, communication, listening, and trying to work together, I'm all for that. That's my statement.
You can't really legislate against hate. Can you? I mean, you're not going to change hearts and minds by putting something into action legally.
Right. Yeah. I think that, yeah, that kind of harkens back to, you know, you can't legislate morality, right? That old adage, which I think is appropriate today. So it is still appropriate today. So no, I think you're right. I think you can't legislate it. But I think it's just really important to, particularly at this juncture, and maybe if we had listened more and listened better, we wouldn't be in the position that we are today. But certainly, if we don't listen to one another, we're not going to get to where we need to be and want to be. And people of all races, colors, creeds, sexual orientations, where everyone deserves to be. Anyway, just my opinion, but I do think it's important to try to find some common ground. And you know, I just think it's easy, Dave. Like, you know what I mean? It's easy when you're doing a game to criticize someone, criticize someone's play or criticize someone's coaching decision. But when you've been in their shoes and you understand that, how difficult it is, I think you have the ability to articulate it in a professional way. And again, I just think we got to stop. We got to stop criticizing people for the way they look or the way they talk or the, you know what I mean? Regardless of what aisle you're on politically, we've got to be, I think some of this has got to start with just simply treating each other, you know, in a better fashion and with the respect and dignity that all people deserve.
I want you to hear an impassioned voice. This was Chris Webber on TNT.
If not now, when? If not during a pandemic and countless lives being lost, if not now, when? That's all I just want to hear from the rest of the night while everybody's pontificating and thinking and soapboxing and all of that. We know nothing is going to change. We get it. Martin Luther King got shot and risked his life, Mega Evers. If we've seen this and all of our heroes constantly taken down, we understand it's not going to end. But that does not mean, young men, that you don't do anything. Don't listen to these people telling you don't do anything because it's not going to end right away. You are starting something for the next generation and the next generation to take over. Do you have to be smart? Yes. Do you have to make sure that you have a plan? Yes. Do you have to be articulate about that plan? Yes. All of those things. But that's what you're going to do. They're professionals. They know how to be the best of themselves. And so I applaud it. I applaud it because it is the young people. It is the young people leading the way. And I applaud them.
Also making it pretty clear that this doesn't end on November 3rd.
Yeah. Yeah. And Chris Webber, so eloquent. And, you know, Dave, he... and so many others have spoken out, like Doc Rivers, and I don't want to. You probably have more audio. I don't want to. Spoiler alert. I don't want to. Diminish that. But yeah, I mean, he just has great perspective, great role model, and I agree with Chris on everything, but particularly with the young kids because I think they really get it, and I'm just really inspired by their ability to see people for who they are and to, you know, see people's character and not get hung up on what they look like, their skin color, their, you know, sexual orientation, any of these things that are just ridiculous to make judgments on people based upon those things. So I think there's a lot of hope. I think there is a lot of hope. And I particularly agree with Chris on the youth being at the forefront of this and really getting it.
Well, all those players went down to the bubble, you know, wearing their Black Lives Matter gear, painting the logo on the court. And obviously these things still happen in the world. Now they sit out a game and now it's going to be two games. Naomi Osaka sits out a tennis tournament. MLS cancels games. Major League Baseball is just going on pause, taking a couple days off. Enough to raise enough awareness to really get the ball rolling, or doesn't last night we were talking about the Lakers and Clippers sitting out the rest of the season. Does something that dramatic have to happen to really raise the awareness level up to the discussions, you know, really create some momentum and steam that way?
Well, listen, I think it's imperative that everyone individually has the ability to speak out and to exercise their right of freedom in the way they see fit. And I think that's also true of collective groups, however they see fit to carry out their objectives. I think we have to respect that. So again, I think it's a decision based upon how can we have the most impact wherever we are with whatever resources we have. And it's a very subjective thing to say, well, they should play out the season or they shouldn't play out the season. Or I think it's best that the people directly involved make those decisions, i.e. the players and the teams. And I think it's important for everyone to respect that. So I happen to think, Dave, that it's good that they're going to play out the season and that they have the opportunity to, again, to exercise their right in the bubble. And then as teams are eliminated, you have the ability to, you know, exercise your right of free speech, peaceful protest in your markets or where you live, kind of what we saw before the bubble began. So I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm supporting people in however they choose to peacefully demonstrate and speak their minds, given the democracy that we live in.
Do you see these protests going beyond this week or in this moment? Maybe the NFL, in fact, I'm going to play a little bit of Dr. Harry Edwards saying, you know, what if we get to the NFL season and they start sitting out games for this? You know, that takes it to a whole new level protest.
Well, this is the challenge that Roger Goodell faces. We've already had that conversation. I know that they're meeting today in the league office to try to come up with a strategy to deal with this. The reality is when an owner says we're going to play, he's not going to play anything. Nobody's going to come to watch an owner play football. It's going to be the players who are going to ultimately make that decision depending upon the sacrifice that they're willing to make. I think that Roger's job is to try to get everybody on the same page, to communicate with the ownership, to communicate with the GMs, to communicate with some of the major sponsors, the networks and so forth, and say, hey, here's where we are. Here's what we're dealing with. We can either get out in front of this and be proactively involved and on the right side of history, or we can be run over by it. But the one thing that we can absolutely not tolerate is a total division and separation between the ownership and the players or between the sponsors and the teams. We've got to be on the same page. And that's the challenge of Roger Goodell's job today. He has to do what's in the best interest of the game. And in this period of time, given the fact that sports inevitably recapitulate society, he has to get everybody on the same page, irrespective of their personal politics.
Yeah, so we're talking about not just the NFL, but really that's a great philosophy of life, right? Get everybody on the same page, everybody in the same room, everybody sharing the same dialogue.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And also, when you played the president's son-in-law earlier, I don't know anything about him. I really don't. I mean, I've heard the name and whatever. But yeah, I think, and I raise that, Dave, only to say that, you know, let's try to find common ground, get on the same page. And, you know, what Dr. Edwards says there, I think is spot on. And I think that is Roger Goodell's job to get everyone on the same page at this moment in history and try to do the what's in the best interest of the game and and what's in the best interest of the human race.
Do you see more cancellations? I mean, not just basketball, and that's going to be determined, but already a couple more baseball games have been canceled. Do you see events being postponed moving forward, just as a guess?
I would kind of echo what I said yesterday in that I wouldn't be surprised by anything moving forward. And it just seems as though we've had so much to deal with in this year, specifically with the pandemic. And then we've had these unfortunate incidents of police brutality, which we've talked about, that have occurred for way too long. It's not a recent thing. Like we said, it's just now being recorded, that I wouldn't be surprised by anything moving forward. But I think what we may see more of is more like kind of like what the NBA players want is more concrete steps of how we're going to change this. Now, it's interesting listening to Justin Termini and Eddie Johnson on SiriusXM NBA Radio this morning. There was a caller who called in who discussed the plan for NBA teams spending money, which they are. They're committing, you know, millions of dollars, right? Tens of millions, if not more, hundreds of millions of dollars into the cities. And his plan was very concrete with the dollars invested, the homes that could be built, the training for jobs like electricians, plumbers, etc. So maybe what we'll see moving forward is more concrete plans like that that would provide hope, homes, opportunity in communities where those things seem to be lacking, where there's a dearth of that. So I think that's where maybe we could see more quasi public-private consortiums or partnerships that will make real change in blighted communities that need them the most. So again, Dave, listen, everyone has the right free speech, peaceful protest, however they see fit. But maybe what we'll see are more tangible initiatives that can really solve some of these problems. And as the caller pointed out, you know, it's not going to happen overnight, but I think steps like that may lead to real change that everyone will feel better about. And of course, we've got, you know, everyone has the right to vote too. So it's just not just one thing, but I would say that call really struck me because it just sounded like something constructive that could really make a positive change and a lasting change as well.
I have time for one serious topic. So I have two on the table. I'm going to flip a coin real quick, see which one I go to. Tails. Okay. Heads was going to be to rant against Tucker Carlson and his future. The other one was who's going to win the championship.
Dave, the coin was unbelievable. That sound. Everybody was on the edge of their seat. Who do I think is going to win the championship?
Yeah, I will own it. It's not the smoothest segue I've ever done, but I want to get off that stuff for now. I mean, I love basketball because it's a distraction from the real world. Take us away from the drama and the BS.
No, exactly. And, you know, I couldn't agree more, Dave, right? It brings us all together regardless of race, ethnicity, socioeconomic variables, right? It's the great uniter. So I think Milwaukee's going to win it. I think it's going to be Milwaukee and the Clippers. And I've said this, you know, since the preseason, actually. And I just think the Bucks have, you know, tremendous balance. And as you know, and I kind of preach this, we've only had two NBA champions outside of the top 10 in defensive rating over the last 20 years. The Lakers in 2001 and the Warriors back in 2018. And the Warriors were 11th, the Lakers 21st, by the way. So Milwaukee just has this great balance being in the top 10 in offensive and defensive rating. They also lead the league in pace, which, again, pace, we could have a conversation about that. I think it's way overblown. But with Giannis and the pieces around him, I just think Milwaukee will win it. I really like the Clippers as well. I think they're mentally tough and they defend. But that's my pick. I'm going to stick with it.
I know you're going to break it down. Why the Clippers over the Lakers in the West?
The Lakers, I've been thoroughly impressed with their ability to defend and the way Vogel has gotten his team to congeal so well, Dave. Third in defensive rating. And as good as the combination of LeBron and Anthony Davis is. I just think the Clippers are deeper. You know, Kawhi Leonard, and I know Paul George has struggled, but really broke out the other night. But those guys is, you know, two of the best two-way players in the league. Montrezl Harrell got back to form, 19 and 11 the other night. He averaged 19 and 7 during the regular season, including almost three offensive rebounds, even without Patrick Beverley. I just think the Clippers are deeper. The bench scores over 50 per night, regular season stats. And I just think they've got too much. And I think, you know, the Lakers without Avery Bradley, I think that's a tough blow for them defensively. Their inconsistency from the perimeter. So those are the reasons why I like the Clippers over the Lakers.
We were talking about this on Twitter the other night. Have you seen anyone closer to Larry Bird than Luka Doncic?
Yeah, and you know, I mean, the kid is just unbelievable at 21 years old, what he's been able to do. And, you know, when you watch the great players, Dave, right, like a Kawhi Leonard, you know, and like Doncic, their ability to get to their spots and to operate is just uncanny. And Luka's got the vision, the ability to make his teammates better. He reminds me of Magic in that, you know, he's emotional to the point like where he'll smile on the floor. It is a kid, 21 years old, 29 and 9 on a nightly basis. And here's the thing about Dallas as a team. You know, they're 2-11 in games decided by 3 points or less. They've lost 11 games when leading after three quarters, 3-4 in overtime. And also in clutch games, they're 17-24. So what does all this tell you? They're terrific offensively, third in rating, second in turnover percentage. And that's a credit to Doncic as well, right? He's got the ball in his hands so much, and he's so young. But what it tells me is that when these guys learn how to finish and how to close games, they're going to be especially dangerous. And they're learning to do that now, you know, with the two wins against Clippers. I don't think they have enough to win the series, but I mean, there's all kinds of reasons to be bullish on Doncic and the Mavs. And I think, Dave, the comparison with Magic, with Bird, I liken him a little bit more to Magic, but he certainly has a better shot and better range from the perimeter than Magic did at this stage of his career. But what a special, special talent.
Bill Herenda, NBA Insider with us. I know you broke down the NBA draft too. Who do you think goes 1-2 with Minnesota and Golden State?
Well, you know, Dave, I think the question there is like, what are they going to do with the pick, right? With the Warriors, for example. And you know, it's very easy for me to say Anthony and Toppin would be 1-2, but I'm just curious if the Warriors will trade that pick for, you know, established talent and or more resources. But I'll go Anthony Toppin. I really like this Obi Toppin kid a lot. I the positional size and versatility that he has and that we see as being so vital in the league, I think he really fits that to a T.
Yeah, Larry Beal, my friend at Channel 7, loves Obi Toppin, but projected there's a guy like Wiseman going to get a big guy in there, or maybe the big kid from USC, if you wanted to get, you know, a little size and athleticism.
Yeah, and it's, I have such respect for talent evaluators. I think it's a really tough job. And, you know, you've got to look at it too. You know, if the draft order and the draft buckets, right? I mean, if you're going, you know, 1-3, you're hoping for an all-star. 4-14, you're hoping for a starter. 15-27, a rotational player, and then 27-60, you're looking for a fringe guy. You're always drafting on talent as a premise. And to me, you know, the key question, I call it the NBA adjustment paradox. Can your decision-making match the speed of the league while your game slows down? And Gordy Chiesa, the longtime Utah Jazz assistant coach, does a great job on the Jazz Radio Network on their pre-half and post-game broadcast, talks about, you know, offensively, many players tend to speed up. And then on defense, they're too slow, particularly, you know, players that are young or new to the league trying to get acclimated. So I think that's the lens that you're always viewing the draft. And remember, there are only four ways to get better: the draft, skill development, trades, and free agency. So it ain't rocket science, but people in the position of talent evaluation, again, I have a lot of respect for it. And there are a lot of people doing it really well, right? I mean, Golden State, Toronto, Boston. And it's a scenario where, to me, if I own an NBA team, whatever the title is, GM, vice president of basketball operations, whatever, if I give you an unlimited expense account, you better exceed it. I don't need to see you at our games. You can always watch them. You need to be on the road globally finding players. And also, Dave, as you know, it's not just the drafted players, but the Fred Van Vliet's, the Covingtons, the Wesley Matthews, right? The undrafted guys too, that you can find that can lift your franchise. So I feel like I'm being very loquacious today. I don't know why.
Oh, just today. It's so out of character for you.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. That's right. That's a great point, Dave. Just today.
What do you make of a LaMelo Ball? And is it hard to evaluate him without thinking of the family?
Oh, yeah. And you know what, Dave? Candidly, my focus has been so playoff centric and kind of focused on that. I haven't really geared up as much on the draft. I will as we get closer to it. But I'll say this. I think the family thing is overblown. And I think that, you know, you're looking at these players and evaluating them as people, of course, and players. It's like the old sports psychology adage, you know, baseball is what I do. It's not who I am. You could supplant basketball for baseball there. So you're going to look at the player in its totality. But I don't put a lot of stock in this case, I'm assuming where you're going is that, you know, the father's a distraction. I don't think that's a big issue.
Well, you're driving back to my therapist because I blame my family for a lot of my stuff. So I'm going to have to, you know, work through that.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, you're always really good, man. I appreciate the time. I know we got pretty heavy in the beginning and we can hopefully, you know, end it light with basketball and then a little laugh at the end.
Yeah, you know, absolutely, Dave. My pleasure anytime. And, of course, wishing everyone, you, your listeners, everyone, you know, health and safety through the pandemic, and hoping that that we can really get through this and have a much more harmonious existence, recognizing the strength that everyone brings to the table and recognizing the differences and diversity makes us stronger and better and should make us more united and not divided.
Bill Herrenda, you're the best, man.
Thanks, Dave. You too. My pleasure.
Thanks to NBA contributor Bill Herrenda. Our executive producer is Hunter Lewis. You can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, YouTube, and iHeartRadio. Your positive comments and feedback certainly are appreciated. They really help out a lot. Our sponsor today is the I'm Up Coffee Company. Your favorite cup of coffee hasn't been roasted yet. I'mUpCoffee.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.